Thank you. It's lovely to be here. I get to go around a few churches and to talk about Tear Fund. Before I do, I ask the people at the main office in Tear Fund about the place that I'm visiting. And so I want to start by saying thank you, because they've told me how you support the work of Tear Fund, and particularly last year, the generosity in your giving to the needs that have arisen in the Middle East. So thank you for that. The readings that we had the first reading was taken from the lectionary, the programme of readings throughout the year. I'm not going to concentrate on that specifically, but I would like you to bear in mind the challenge in that reading from Amos as we delve perhaps a bit more deeply into that second reading from John's Gospel. And so to kind of hold that in the context of that reading. So anyway, there he was. There was this little boy, and he was standing in the middle of a large, tired and hungry crowd when this tall man, Andrew, came up to him and started asking about his lunch. And maybe the conversation went something like this. Hello. There's rather a large crowd here, isn't there? And they're quite hungry, as many of them have had a long walk around the lake, and they've come here to listen to Jesus. Would you mind sharing your lunch with them? I don't know how you would have reacted. I think I'd have thought something along the lines of, how on earth can my small lunch solve this problem? This crowd is far too large to feed all these people. And anyway, who is this man? But instead, the boy went with Andrew to find Jesus. And although Andrew had a clear lack of confidence, we read in this passage that he confesses, but how far will this go amongst so many? It's important to note that at least he did something. He went and he found the boy and his lunch, and he brought them to Jesus. On the other hand, Philip, he didn't really seem to have a clue what to do. So in the absence of any money or any shops, Philip seemed stumped. He was just overwhelmed by the situation. And he stayed with Jesus and seemingly did nothing. And the boy? Well, we don't really get a sense of what the boy really thought. Perhaps he thought much the same as Andrew about the limitations of his lunch. Or perhaps his childlike faith was bigger than that of either Andrew or Philip. So this boy made his own personal gift and handed over his lunch to Jesus. And as we know, the boy wasn't disappointed. In fact, we can guess that he was utterly amazed. Not only was everyone fed, but there were 12 baskets left over at the end. This is an amazing story. We're familiar with it, and so perhaps it loses some of its amazement to us. It's told within all four of the Gospels. And even though we know that Jesus performed such an amazing miracle, well, do we sometimes struggle to believe that Jesus could perform a similar miracle today? Now, I'm sure you're aware that hunger is a real problem across the globe. Let me set some context. The World Bank estimates that 1 in 10 people in the world are living in extreme poverty. That means they're living on less than £1.50 per day. And that means that 1 in 10 people in the world go to bed hungry every day. 1 in 10 people in the world. That's a huge number of people. And so in the face of such need, it's very easy to feel that the problem is too big, that things haven't changed, that it's all futile, and so why bother? What can I do? So perhaps like Philip, we just feel stumped. And frankly, that's quite understandable. And yet, niggling away in the back of our minds is the thought that we know that Jesus cares. We know that Jesus really wants this to change. And we know that as his disciples today, he might just want us to be involved. And I've got some good news. Things are changing, and they're changing fast. At the turn of the century, internationally, some Millennium Development Goals were set. 8 goals, covering things like poverty and health and education and child mortality. And the first one of those goals was to halve the number of people living in extreme poverty by 2015, relative to the number of people in 1990, over that 25-year span. But actually, that goal was achieved in 2010, 5 years early. So there is encouraging news. And yet, we know that there's still much more that needs to be done to eradicate extreme poverty. And we also know that it's the very poorest of the very poorest who are the hardest to reach. And it's on this group that Tear Fund is focusing. And the commitment of Tear Fund as an organisation is, as it says on the screen, as it says in the strapline, to follow Jesus where the need is greatest. And so that calling is taking us to some of the most desperate situations in the world today. On this map, I want to point out the Sahel region in Africa. It's the strip that runs through the middle, and I've highlighted Chad as one country in that. 6 million children will suffer from acute malnutrition in that area this year alone. And Chad is the country where Yasmin lives. This is Yasmin. She's 6 years old. And when we talk about 1 in 10 going to bed hungry every night, we're talking about children like Yasmin. A team from Tear Fund visited the community where she is and asked Yasmin to put into the bowl the amount of food that she would have, not just for one meal, but for the whole day. And this is what is shown in the photograph. As you can see, it's next to nothing. Day after day. And so parents in the village are having to reduce their frequency of meals in order to provide for their children. And why is there so little food? Well, the Sahel has always been a difficult region, but in recent years the rains have been increasingly unpredictable. This photograph was taken using a drone and is showing the main river near Yasmin's village. It's only about a third of the width that it should be. Now, Yasmin's mum, Yumana, is standing here by the river with Yasmin and her younger brother, Zain Zain. Now, she might appear to be walking on the water, but in fact, she's standing on the riverbed. The water should be up to her head. But the water is so shallow that as she collects the water, it draws in the silt and the sediment as well. The whole community in that area are subsistence farmers. And the drought has a profound effect on the villagers as they try to grow their own food. So Jumana was asked to show how tall the crops should have been at this time. That's where her hand is. And you can see the height of the crops. The rains came 2 weeks late and finished 2 weeks early. And so while the crops had started to germinate, they then died and were worthless. And so for subsistence farmers like Jumana, that's a disaster. Jumana had already lost one daughter to hunger, and she was desperate to provide for her remaining children. She said, "I used to be a very strong woman, but now I've been reduced to only thinking of how to feed my family. I've been trying everything to protect the children. I'm throwing everything I can at this." So what does everything mean? Got a short film clip here, lasts 2.5 minutes. Let's watch that to get an idea.
Of greatest need. We're in Jumana's village, shoulder to shoulder with families close to starvation, bringing long-term solutions as well as emergency food that will save lives. Food that will feed Jumana's children.
The only day that my daughter Yasmin was happy was the day they distributed foodstuff to us. I was able to prepare good food for my children.
Through their faith and hard work, the local church, supported by Tear Fund, are bringing hope to this village.
Jesus fed a huge number in his time, so he would act. He would act so that the community could have something to put on the table.
Because of the work of the local church, Jumana has hope. Jesus is here. But tonight, her children go to sleep hungry again. Her basket is empty. You can help fill it. Please, give like Jesus.
I've got some bowls here, made by women in the region who are similarly desperate to provide for their families. Jumana collects reeds from the riverbank and she dries them, and if she can afford to, she dyes them and then weaves these bowls. Ironically, these are bread baskets. But as you heard, it takes 5 days to make a basket, and yet when they're sold, it produces enough money for 2 meals. And because that doesn't provide enough, Jumana showed us one of the other options that she has. And she led the team to an ant's nest, and it didn't seem to make sense to them at first, but then Jumana started to explain that she and other women in the village dig up to a meter down to steal the seeds that the ants have stored away for themselves so they can feed their families. Can you imagine being so desperate that you resort to stealing from ants? With her husband, Osman, away trying to find casual work in a local rope factory, all the other safety nets that might be in place have gone. And if she can't find ants' nests or sell her baskets, then the family doesn't eat. So despite all her best efforts, this is all the food that Jumana can gather for the whole family for one day. And it just isn't sufficient. But I want to tell you that there is hope. The small local church, supported by Tear Fund's partner, and the way that Tear Fund works is through partnering with local organisations and local churches within the community. This partner, PEDC, the local evangelical church, I can't remember what PED stands for, is engaged with transforming lives and transforming the communities. So not only are they supporting the local church to distribute emergency food supplies to families, they're also running a food for work program. And what this means is that it works to restore the dignity of people within the community and gives them purpose in return for their work. They get paid in food, enough to feed their whole families. And the difference? This is the difference. We know that feeding a community is crucial. There's a Chadian proverb that says, the hungry have no ears. They can't hear. They won't hear if they've got a hungry, if they're hungry. But central to the program is of this Food for Work program is something even more amazing, because it's building hope for the people in these communities. They're not just doing work, they're working on projects which have a long-term impact that will help to build their resilience to drought. So, for example, whilst emergency aid is vital for people like Jumana and Yasmin, they need food right now. These projects are also, through the local church, working to meet the needs and to build for the future. This photograph here is a photograph of a dike that's been built to enable them to irrigate the land and therefore to grow crops out of season. So far, 72 acres have been irrigated in this fashion, in this area, and that's now being extended. So thanks to the work of these partners and the people who are supporting them through their giving to enable this to happen, things are changing. Communities are being transformed. And this change is shining like a strong light in the community. One community member said, and the quote is up there, "We marvel at the way that PEDC has supported us. They've shown us a different face of Christians and Christianity. In fact, we've been really touched, and this has helped us to become closer to Christians." Good news. So things are changing. But there is still a lot more to do. Casting our minds back to John's telling of the feeding of the 5,000, we hear that it was nearly Passover, something that none of the other gospel writers point out, and yet it's a small detail of significance. The Passover is the celebration of when God liberated the people, the children of Israel, from Egypt, and led them through the wilderness to the promised land. It was in that context that he provided manna for them and fed them and met their needs. And God wants to provide for his people today. It's in his very nature. And we see this displayed throughout Scripture. We also see through the feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus invites us to be part of that story. He wants to use the little that we have in our hands to do something extraordinary. 5 loaves and 2 fish, as all they had that day. It really didn't seem very much, and it certainly wasn't going to solve the whole problem. But 5 loaves and 2 fish offered sacrificially to Jesus with faith meant that Jesus could do something with it. It was the gift that Jesus used to feed thousands. So what do we have in our hands today? And how might God use it to help transform the lives of people like Yasmin and Jumana? Well, 33 pence a day, that's £10 a month, is what it costs to provide a child like Yasmin with 2 meals each day. And that's less than the cost of a newspaper. Tear Fund follows Jesus where the need is greatest, as it says in the strapline. And sometimes that means needing to provide food as an urgent emergency response. But once those immediate needs are met, we then need to continue to support communities to shape their long-term sustainable future through projects like building those dikes and putting in place irrigation. To do that, regular support is really important because we can then commit to programmes of work. And £10 a month could make a huge difference, and the transformation that this brings can transform the lives of those people. It's a miracle. So, I would like to invite you today to be part of this miracle for people like Yasmin. Let's not be like Philip and feel stumped into inaction. But let's be like the boy in the Bible passage who offered his lunch to Jesus, bringing that to him so that he can multiply it beyond our comprehension. Now, I hope that when you came in, you received one of these little leaflets. And I want to invite you to support the work that Tear Fund is involved with today and to accept that invitation. Inside, simply fill in your details and hand the form to me at the end of the service and we'll do the rest. If you feel able to commit financially and to put your bank details down there, then I'd love to give you one of these baskets as a reminder and as a thank you. If you don't have your bank details with you or you need to discuss it with a member of the family or whatever, if you put your contact details down there, then somebody from the team at Tear Fund office can get in touch with you later in the week to follow up with a phone call. And then if you decide to support, they can send you one of these baskets in the post. And so I'd like us to take, as I finish, to take a moment to reflect on this. We're going to put on a series of pictures and just play a song in the background. It lasts 3 minutes. And whilst we do that, I'm going to pass round a basket, one this side and one that side. And in the basket, I've put some seeds, indicative of the amount of food that Yasmin would have for the day. As we look at this and as we think about those lessons from the reading in John, let's remember that also in the context of the challenge of the words of the prophet Amos. Thank you very much.